Checking back in with Quincy City Council President Nina Liang for a little recap on the October 4th council meeting. Hi, Nina.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm just dandy. It is freezing, but it is what it is. I think the last time you and I had spoken, we talked about Christmas things. And I think between last week and this week, I'm just resigning myself to the fact that it's getting cold and there's nothing we can do.
Yes, as I recall, you banished me from speaking about that, so I'm not going to bring it up.
Yes, no, I mean, okay, it is October now, so technically I guess we could start talking about that, but Halloween hasn't even come yet, and Thanksgiving, so.
Okay, fair enough.
We'll talk about that before we talk about Christmas.
Sounds good. Let's talk about the council still meeting remotely, yes?
We are, yeah.
Okay, for the foreseeable future, do you think?
Yeah, unless things, again, start to decline as far as rates go. I mean, look, we had spoken about this before, right? I mean, it's very much a, you know, sort of let's just take the information as it comes and make decisions as we go with as much information as possible that we're given. But, you know, when the governor extended the ability for us to meet remotely and continue to do so, I think it really gave us the tools to have this option to say, okay, well, if the rates go down and we don't need to use this virtual option anymore, great, right? But it's there if we need it. And turns out we did, right? I was really hoping that we'd be back in person this fall. But again, just over the course of the summer, and still what's going on now with the continued increases of rates with the Delta variant, and then there is an additional variant of the Delta variant that's happening. Again, you know, for us, the priority is whatever items being discussed in front of the council, that it should be open to the public, right? And if that's the case, there could be days where nobody from the public comes in and participates in the meetings, but there could be days where there's, you know, quite a number of them. And, you know, with that kind of unknown, having to factor in accessibility and the safety of everyone involved in these meetings or participating in these meetings, again, just staying virtual right now is the safest way to go, I think. And so if things change dramatically, you know, between now and the next meeting, great. Would love to be back in the chambers. Would love to see my colleagues again. I know, you know, we're all itching to see each other in person again. So that would be great. But you know, it just, again, it's a matter of following the information as it comes out and making the best decision from there.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's not only about the counselors, it's about the public that would come to the meetings also.
Well, that's what's been the driving decision for all of us the last year and a half, right? I mean, there's, you know, nine of us in total. We do have, you know, the council staff as well. We do have folks in the mayor's office who attend every single meeting also. So, you know, there's a little over a dozen or so of us, where we could internally say, okay, the chamber is large enough to fit all of us if we just, you know, spread out across the chamber, and that's all well and fine. But, you know, you're right. This decision isn't about us, right? At the end of the day, ultimately, it's about the folks who are attending those meetings, staff included, right? Like it's a decision that we need to make sure that everyone is safe. And so that's been the driving force behind the conversations I've been having with my colleagues and the decision to stay remote for now, it's because of that. So again, if we can do so safely with everyone involved, wonderful, but until that's like a guarantee, it's not a risk that, you know, I'm willing to take to put anybody in jeopardy, whether they're caring for somebody who is susceptible to, or more susceptible, right, than anyone else to get this virus, or if they have kids at home that are not vaccinated, or maybe there are folks who don't want to be vaccinated who want to come to the meetings, and then other folks who are vaccinated maybe feel uncomfortable with that, or vice versa, right? I mean, whatever the case may be, again, ultimately it's about making sure everyone feels safe being part of these meetings in some form, and that form happens to be virtual right now.
Sure. Let us know if things change so we can let folks know.
We will. You guys have been great. And I just want to say a quick thank you for that, by the way, because, you know, yes, a lot of folks have been tuning in to the meetings by just dialing into the Zoom that Jen sets up for us, or they dial in through their computer and they listen that way. And that's great. But, you know, whenever I talk to people about the meetings and they know what's going on, is because they're watching QATV, right? So that hasn't changed. Like the consistency of residents who watched our meetings through QATV, through you guys taking care of it and broadcasting it for us, those numbers haven't changed, right? And so it obviously helps that you guys are continuing that with us. And I appreciate that.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's our pleasure. Happy to hear that too. We don't get a lot of ratings, if you will. So it's nice to hear that that folks are using the service the way it was intended. How about last night? Was it well attended, would you say, by the public? It was a pretty short meeting, right?
It was a pretty short meeting. So we did have a couple of folks log in who, you know, again, and this is how we can tell, right? It's a little bit more difficult on Zoom because you can change your name on Zoom and, you know, you don't put your video on it. So you know, quite a number of times we actually have, you know, department heads and people who work within local government who attend our meetings just to tune in, right? And sometimes it's really neat to see. And so last night we had a couple of folks who were from the public who logged in as well. And, you know, I'm hoping that if people missed the meeting last night because they didn't tune in to Zoom or to QATV Channel 9 when it was being aired, that they'll tune in moving forward once you guys re-air it, because it was a really interesting conversation, right? To look and see how the redistricting of our city worked out, right? So really cool conversation. It was really neat to be able to see the map of all the new wards and the precincts. And this won't, you know, take place until January of next year. So I don't want folks to think, oh, well, we voted on this new map. All of a sudden, I'm not, you know, in Ward 3, Precinct 3. I'm all of a sudden in Ward 3, Precinct, you know, 2 or 1 or whatever. That's not the case until January. So it doesn't take effect until January. So between now and then, if folks are interested, I always think it's really neat to go and see the changes that have taken place. I really encourage folks to go, you know, to again, tune into QATV when you guys broadcast it, or they can go to the city's website and go under the city council page, and all of our agendas are posted there. There is an electronic document that people can look at where they can zoom into the map and check everything out.
Yeah, and we'll also post it to our website so folks can watch it anytime there as well.
Great, thank you.
What were some of the changes?
So for me, the most exciting news is that we, you know, surpassed 100,000 folks, right? And now this is all the information that's being presented comes with a disclaimer and the acknowledgement. Two things, I suppose. One is that the clerk, Nicole Crispo, has done a phenomenal job. Her and her team, you know, prior to the pandemic, prior to even sitting down to start this redistricting, right, or a sort of redrawing of those of the lines of the map, you know, they've worked tirelessly to make sure that people are aware from the get-go, right, of filling out the census, making sure you're recorded, the importance of that. You and I got to talk about that, right? It's about being counted and making sure that, you know, this helps us to define what we receive in state and federal funding, right? If we're a city of 30,000 people versus 100,000 people, it makes it a lot harder to ask for even more resources if they look and say, you're only 30,000 people, what do you need all those resources for, right? So the more people that participate, the better it is for all of us to be able to get that kind of support, you know, financially and otherwise. And so, you know, she's done a phenomenal job in the last 2 years and having to work around a pandemic to make sure that as many people are as informed and counted as possible. But, you know, again, there's still folks, unfortunately, who fall through the cracks, maybe, you know, in the midst of a move or in the midst of trying to figure out, do I still have a job during the pandemic, right? Like, what are my kids doing at school? I mean, there was a lot going on last year, you know, so it adds this, you know, additional layer of, I think, you know, the struggle of trying to make sure that every singular person is counted. So was it perfect? Of course not. It's never perfect, right? There's no city or town across the United States that's ever perfectly counted with the residents. But if you look at the data and you look at the information that she was able to gather, it's an incredible, incredible achievement that she did. And so we are now officially over 100,000 residents. I have the number in front of me. We're at 101,636. So again, you think about the disclaimer that there are maybe, you know, some folks out there who hadn't filled it out. So we're likely a little bit over that. But the hard number is 101,000. So that's pretty neat. And what Nikki was able to do, instead of, you know, creating additional precincts or wards, is that there is a number that you have to work within, right? So there are these restrictions that say, you know, your precincts can't carry any less than, I think it's 3,200 residents and no more than 3,500, especially not approaching, you know, the 4,000 mark. And given the influx of residents that have come in, right, to the apartment buildings, the condos, all of the above, right? New construction with multi-family homes, whatever the case may be. She was able to work every single precinct to make sure that we stayed within those parameters. So it is not an easy feat, right? I'm sort of jumping all over the place with the explanation, but it's all to say that this is a very, very vigorous process, right, Joe? So like you and I can live on the same street. You live on Main Street. I live on Main Street. You're right across the street from me. But for whatever reason, because of the way the lines are crossed, you know, maybe you need to be counted in that district, because if you move over to this district, well, then all of a sudden we're surpassing that number, right? And we're over the number that we need to be per precinct. Okay, so we'll remove you, right? And we'll look at the next. So even on the same street sometimes, I mean, you have to pick very, very carefully every single house you're bringing into, you know, each precinct line. And it's it's across the entire city, right? So just think about that. How many streets, how many homes, how many condos, how many apartment buildings, how many, you know, multifamily homes, all of the above, right? You bring in one condo building, maybe that's a five-story condo building, right? Bring it into this one precinct. Okay, well, we're not over, but now this one is significantly under. So do we yeah. move them back? But we can't, because then that one will be over. So all that being said, she has done an absolutely remarkable job. And I really do highly encourage folks to take a look at the map. It's really impressive to see.
Yeah, very much so. And she actually managed to eliminate one precinct, 2-3A down at the Southern Ottery Senior Center. So integrated that back into Ward 2 Precinct 2. So we're actually back mm-hmm. down to 30 precincts instead of 31.
Right. So yeah, she's done a really good job at not only saying, you know, this is where the numbers need to hit, and that would be great, right? She also, I mean, she knows the city. She knows the city inside and out. So she also is being respectful of the fact that it's okay, well, you know, if I cut a precinct down this street, you know, physically it doesn't make sense, right? Like physically it doesn't make sense for these residents here mm-hmm. to be counted in this precinct, because then when they go to vote, they have to cross over railroad tracks and go across the whole, you know, section over here to get to that. It just doesn't make sense. And so she has taken so many things into consideration. And again, it's very, very impressive. It's helpful to know that we had somebody who knew this city inside and out, making and drawing these new lines, right? Because again, it's very different. You look at a map and, you know, again, I have it in front of you, can sit here and say, okay, you know, it makes sense to draw a straight line down that way. We hit our numbers, right? Like the precinct numbers, there's the right amount of people in each one. Great, let's just draw that line. And then in practical application, you know, again, you have to go across this massive railroad track and go down a main road and sit in traffic and go back the other way. So, yeah. You know, it's so many things you have to factor in when you're doing this kind of work. It's, again, staying within those boundaries of the number of people you have per precinct. But it's also knowing the city, right? Knowing the neighborhoods and making sure that people, when they get placed in one precinct or the other, physically, practically speaking, that it makes sense. And that's what we were lucky enough to have in Nikki, you know, that she had considered all these things and I'm sure more things that I can't even think about. And she's just did a remarkable job.
Yeah. Yeah. Most importantly, I think she mentioned the fact that there won't be any polling place changes. So I think that's significant. So, you know, folks can vote where they normally vote.
Yes, yes. I believe that there are, I think she said, so there were 16,500 people who will have their wards and or precincts changed.
Yeah.
And out of those 16,500, 4,500 of them are registered voters. And so between now and January, when it comes into effect, you know, she's going to do what she needs to on her end to make sure that residents are notified and that they know what, if any, changes are being applied to their voting area.
Right. And again, as you pointed out, they don't take effect until 2022. So correct. No changes for the upcoming city election on November 2nd at all.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So all of this being said, you know, come November 2nd, you still vote where you've always voted. And then in January, again, 2022, if there are any changes, again, I think there were about 4,500 registered voters that it does impact. But, you know, it's really simple. Again, we, you know, have the information on the city's website. I always encourage folks to go to wheredoiVoteMA.com. That's a very easy way to either change your registration, check your registration, see where you to go to vote. And again, you know, Nikki's going to do what she needs to on her end to make sure that folks are notified as well. So,
yep. So I'm assuming this the council accepted the map.
That's correct. Yes. So we accepted it. And then she needs to go and present the, you know, accepted version to the mayor to sign. And then at that point, she needs to give a presentation for approval statewide. And then hopefully, again, by the end of the year, it'll go into effect. Or not the end of the year, but, you know, it'll be official at the end of the year and then go into effect January of next year.
So. Okay. Excellent. Very good. And there was really only one other item, right, on the council's agenda for the resolve. Yeah.
Yes, the resolve is sort of an update slash continuation of the conversation that we had last week when Councilor Phelan had introduced a resolve, which again is a sort of declaration of the council to essentially ask the state enforcement bodies, right, to enforce the fact that there is already in existence a commercial vehicle ban on Furnace Brook Parkway and some other state-run roads that come through the city, right? And so what he did is, after talking to our Ward 6 counselor, Councilor Harris, and then, you know, talking to a number of other colleagues as well, finding the fact that, look, this is happening on Quincy Shore Drive as well, or in Quincy Shore Drive is also, again, run and managed by the state, right? And so what Councilor Phelan did is, you know, he took last week's resolve, and instead of, you know, passing that, we already passed it last week, but essentially saying, before we pass that along to make the formal request to the state, let's make sure we add in Quincy Shore Drive as well, so that the formal request will have the ask of saying, you know, not only do we want you to enforce this commercial vehicle ban on Furnace Brook, we also want you to do that for Quincy Shore Drive, which for both of those roads that run through the city, you're not supposed to be driving these, you know, tractor trailers down these roads. And for anybody who knows, you know, when they're trying to avoid Hancock Street and they're taking either of these two roads instead, it's a nightmare, right? And sometimes in the middle of the night, right? Like late at night, when folks are driving home, right? Like you can hear it, you can feel it, you can see these trucks, like, you know, going through these roads. And these roads aren't meant for that, right? They're meant for you and I to drive down or to ride our bicycles down, right? It's not for these tractor trailers to say, I'm going to use Quincy as a cut through, which continues to be a problem. Super grateful again to my colleagues for presenting this, and hopefully this will, you know, not only improve safety for all of us traveling through the city, but also reduce congestion and help with our traffic problem, right? But ultimately, we need partnerships, right? We need partnerships of the state who, again, you know, oversee and enforce these kind of rules on these roads to really help us out and make sure that it happens.
I'm assuming the state legislative delegation is included in the notification process.
We're sending it to everyone who will listen to us. Whoever we can throw a flare up to, we will do so. I think we spoke about this. We've always been super lucky with the state delegation that we have here in Quincy. You know, whether it's with, you know, the Speaker of House, with Senator Keenan, with Representative Chan, Representative Ayers, and even Representative Hunt. You know, we've always had, as long as I've ever known anyway, they always have had an incredible state delegation and a relationship with them. So I have no doubt that they're going to be, you know, helpful with this, because they live here too. You know, at the end of the day, they also live here. So they know just as well as we do about these kinds of issues, because they live here, right? They travel these streets every single day. So excited to always work with them, for sure.
Well, you know, it's not a matter of enacting a new law. It's an existing law. You just want it enforced.
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. Anything else at the meeting we should know about, Nina?
That was it. We're going to be having some committee meetings coming up. I think, again, you and I spoke about this the last couple of meetings, that whenever there is an ordinance or sometimes even a resolve, we move it into either one of the three larger main committees of the council, which are finance, ordinance, and oversight. And then we have these smaller subcommittees. And so, you know, again, depending on whether it's an ordinance item or a resolve item, sometimes when agenda items come in front of the council, we put them into these committees for more in-depth conversations. And mm-hmm. So coming up, we do have an ordinance committee meeting that will be scheduled later on. We'll have finance and oversight as well. So on top of the regularly scheduled council meetings, I hope folks will tune into committee meetings so they can, you know, be a part of the conversation as we go more in depth with some of the items that we were discussing earlier this year.
Okay. And when's the next full council?
So the next regularly scheduled full council meeting is going to be on, I have the date here, Monday, October 18th. And then after that, it'll be the municipal elections, November 2nd. Everyone please go vote. And then after that will be the next formal city council meeting, which is Monday, November 8th.
Okay, very good.
By then we'll be freezing, you and I. We'll just, you know, we won't even be like, oh, it's such a beautiful day today. By then I think you and I will be, you know, sitting here shivering.
It'll be Indian summer, so we'll be nice and warm and toasty.
I like that. Just, it's all a frame of mind, right, Joe?
Exactly. Yes.
It's all in your head.
Has there been any talk among your colleagues about the next council president?
Not that I know of. I know some folks are interested in seeing, of course, if we're going to stay remote or if we're going to, you know, go back to being in person or not. You know, for me, especially, like I very much am always just looking at, okay, you know, are we all going to be able to keep our jobs past November 2nd, right? If so, great. Like we'll move on after that and have the conversation.
Okay.
But no, honestly, there's so much work still in front of us right now as the council body as it is, right? The nine of us, again, have a number of things that we still need to move forward through, engage the public on, have these committee meetings. And so that's kind of where the focus is right now. Again, I was just mentioning to you earlier that we had to schedule these additional meetings in committee and, you know, finding these items that we can partner with the state on. You know, we still have to look through, you know, what's going on with the funding that's come down from the state. So there's a lot that's still in front of us right now that we've been focusing on. So I guess we'll have to see what happens after the election.
Okay. All right. So first things first, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Work is the most important thing. First, we need to do our jobs, you know, and then after that, we'll think about the next council president. But yeah, first and foremost, you know, the focus whenever I'm talking to my colleagues is, you know, what's going on with the agenda, what's coming down the pike, you know, what meetings do we need to schedule? So it's, you know, we're focused on the work right now.
Okay. We will check back on the 19th, if that's okay.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Nina.
Thanks. Bye.